I'm going to read the scripture from the New Revised Standard Version as well. It's more familiar than the New Living Translation, but I think both of them together give us a fuller picture of the meaning of the scripture. When Jesus saw the crowds, he went up the mountain, and after he sat down, his disciples came to him. Then he began to speak and taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called the children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who went before you." In this scripture passage from Matthew chapter 5, Jesus gives 8 attributes that characterize those who belong to his kingdom. They are known as the Beatitudes. He delivered these on a hillside in Capernaum in the Sermon on the Mount, a sermon that scholars say probably lasted several days. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus challenged the teaching of the proud and legalistic religious leaders of his day. Through it, he was calling the people back to the message of the Old Testament prophets, who, like Jesus, taught that God wants heartfelt obedience and not mere legalistic keeping of the law and rituals. The Beatitudes are the most well-known portion of the Sermon on the Mount. They describe how a follower of Jesus should live. They portray God's upside-down kingdom where the meek will inherit the earth and not the powerful. Jesus tells us that those who display these characteristics are blessed. And blessed in this context is defined as singularly favored or graciously approved by God. The Beatitudes contrast kingdom values, which are eternal, with worldly values that are temporary. They are the total opposite of what our current world sees as great. Now, a couple weeks ago, comedian Steve Harvey was invited to come to Trump Tower to meet the then president-elect. To talk about helping the troubled African-American community, which, if you listen to the president, you'd think all our communities are in shambles, which actually isn't true. Just like every other race, we have safe neighborhoods and not so safe neighborhoods, thriving communities and declining communities. Good schools and schools which need a lot of help. People who are struggling to make ends meet and people who are doing quite well. He painted the African American community with a broad brush, and his assessment was extremely flawed. I guess he's been reading too many of those alternative facts.
Come on.
Steve Harvey, in an interview after the meeting, said he thought that Donald Trump was a great man. He did. I heard it myself. What measure of greatness is he using? Yes, the world does say he who has the most toys wins. The world values money and possession and power above humility and mercy. And a rich person can get away with a whole lot more than a poor man. But Jesus had a different take on greatness.
Come on.
He said to his disciples when teaching about the arrogance and the hypocrisy of the religious leaders that the greatest among you will be the servant. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not mad at Steve Harvey. He just needs to read his Bible a little closer. And he's not alone. Amen. We are witnessing the Jim Jones of our times. People are drinking his Kool-Aid so much so that they cannot discern what is truth from lies. 2 Timothy chapter 4 verses 3 and 4 says, "For the time is coming when people will not put up with sound doctrine, but having itchy ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own desires and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander away to myths." Be careful who you listen to. Amen. People have seemed to have chosen to check their brains at the door and put their hope in someone who is so in love with himself that he will always put his self-interest above others. Winning seems to be what he prizes above all. And though human beings might call a rich and powerful man great, God's word tells us otherwise. Proverbs chapter 16, verses 18, 22, 27, and 28b says this: "Pride goes before destruction, and haughtiness before a fall. Discretion is a life-giving fountain to those who possess it, but discipline is wasted on fools. Scoundrels create trouble. Their words are a destructive blaze. A troublemaker plants seeds of strife." Last year, many seeds of strife were planted in our country. And the harvest produced by them is full of weeds and rotten fruit. And in the midst of this, God is calling his children to march to a different drumbeat than the world, to demonstrate the attributes of his kingdom through how we live and how we behave. The Beatitudes tell us what those attributes are. They are the measuring rod for how we examine our behavior and our motives as we live in a world that is increasingly more and more opposed to the values of God. So let's examine them. The poor in spirit refers to those who recognize their need for God's mercy. As the scripture says in Isaiah 64 and 6, "All of us have become like one who is unclean, and all our righteous acts are like filthy rags. We all shrivel up like a leaf, and like the wind, our sins sweep us away." If you don't recognize your need for God, you can't be saved. Scripture says, if we confess the Lord Jesus with our mouth and we believe in our heart, we shall be saved. But confessing the Lord Jesus means that you confess your need of a Savior. Confessing the Lord Jesus means that you say, I'm a sinner on my way to hell, and I need to give my life to the God who paid the penalty for my sin so that I can be saved. Some folk love their sin too much to let go of it so that they can be free. Amen. Those who mourn can refer to those who have personal sorrow for their sins. And those who lament over the moral decay of their nation, which in Jesus' context was Israel. Do we mourn for the moral decay of our nation? We should.
Amen.
Have we become so numb to what goes on in the world that we no longer mourn for the sin that binds us? That we no longer cry out to God for mercy to save us? That we don't understand that judgment is coming? To ask God for mercy? Those who mourn. Meek means gentle. Those who have humility and trust in God rather than being conceited and self-centered. We live in this I'm okay society. Me first, self-actualization. I'm empowered, the God within. We can fall prey to the crap of the world very easily. Amen. See, God desires that we find our peace and our sense of self-awareness and of self-esteem and pride in who we are in Him. And as His child. And that comes with humility. Amen. I don't have to be better than anybody else. I don't have to compare myself to anybody else because there'll always be somebody better. There'll always be somebody smarter. There'll always be somebody more beautiful. Amen? But if I compare myself to who God has made me to be, that He loves me and treasures me and calls me His own and placed His Spirit within me, amen. That's a humbling thing. We were created in the image of God.
Amen.
That's pretty awesome. And it wasn't that I was created in His image and you weren't. Amen.
Amen.
We all are created in God's image. And what God calls us to do is call out His image in each other. Amen. And you can't do that being proud and self-centered. You can only do that being humble.
Amen.
And gentle. Amen. Those who hunger and thirst for righteousness are those who long to live a life that's pleasing to God. No stumbling, no sinning. It's a desire to do right and a desire to see God's will done in the world. Now, that doesn't mean that we won't sin. But that means that with our whole heart, we desire not to sin.
Amen.
That we don't categorize sins and make one sin big and one sin small. And so we can do the small ones because they're over there doing the big ones. As far as God is concerned, sin is sin. Amen?
Amen.
And if we love Jesus, we ought to hunger and thirst to live in a way which glorifies Him.
Amen.
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 And submit our lives to Him in everything, not in some things, not in what's easy for us, but in those things that we battle to let go of. Amen. That's where the power of God comes in.
Come on.
Merciful. It suggests generosity and forgiveness and compassion.
Come on. Come on, come on.
And don't we need that in the world today? Man,
yes.
People are mean.
Yes.
Man, look on Facebook. Say something somebody doesn't like and people will cut you up.
Yes.
See, it's bold when you can cut somebody up and you don't have to be in their face.
That's right.
The internet has truly made a bunch of bold cowards because half those folk wouldn't say what they're saying
that's
if they
right.
were saying
Come
it
on.
To your face.
Yes, that's right.
Amen. It's
that's
the
right.
truth.
Amen.
But people are mean. People don't have compassion.
Amen.
But God calls us to be people who are merciful.
Yes.
To be pure in heart is to be honest in our dealings, sincere, not giving lip service or being duplicitous, but being single-minded in our commitment. The pure-hearted are sincere in their devotion to Christ and their desire to live in a way that pleases Him.
Amen.
Period. Not one foot in the church and one foot in the world. Amen. We're in the world. We're to be in the world, but not of the world.
Amen.
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 That's not me saying that. That's the word.
Amen.
Amen. Pure in heart. A desire above all things to please God. Jesus said the pure in heart will see God.
Yes, he did.
Don't you want to see Him?
Amen.
I sure do.
Amen.
Peacemakers are those who work for peace. Those who do not stir up strife. Are there peacemakers in the church?
Come on.
Is gossip peacemaking?
No.
Is always having to be right peacemaking? Is talking about, amen, is talking about folk behind their back peacemaking?
No.
Amen. Churches get tore up because folk can't keep their mouth shut. Amen. But see, we go back to pure hearted because if your heart is pure, you're not going to be talking about your neighbor. You're going to be praying for your neighbor. Amen. You're not going to judge your neighbor. Amen. And if you've got an issue with your neighbor, you're going to go to your neighbor. You're not going to go to your sister and your brother and everybody else and talk about your neighbor.
Yes. Amen.
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 Persecuted for righteousness' sake. Some of us are persecuted, but it's not for righteousness' sake. We're persecuted because we don't act right.
Come on.
It's just the truth. We act ugly. And when ugly comes and slaps us up in the head, then we want to cry.
Amen.
It's only blessed when you're persecuted because you want to serve Christ and people oppose you because of your stance for Jesus Christ. Then, Scripture says you're blessed. Not because you raise hell and it bites you in the butt. Amen?
Come on, Pastor.
It's true. It's the truth.
That's the truth, yes.
These are the attributes of God. The attributes of God's upside down kingdom.
Amen.
The kingdom that we who know Jesus are supposed to be a part of. Amen?
Amen.
A researcher did an experiment to see if a child could pass up a tasty marshmallow. He left a series of 4-year-olds alone in a room seated at a table. And on the table, he placed a single marshmallow. The researcher told the children that they could eat the marshmallow when he left the room, or if they could wait until he returned, they'd get another one. The children had a choice. One marshmallow or two marshmallows, if they were patient. The researcher left the room, and as you would guess, he watched and recorded the responses of the children through a hidden window. And you can probably guess the results. Some of the children scarfed down that marshmallow as soon as the door shut. Some of them squirmed and fidgeted for a while, but in the end, they just could not hold out any longer. They just had to eat that marshmallow. A few children, in a show of steely self-discipline, picked up the marshmallow, licked it, and nibbled just a bit to get the taste, but didn't eat the whole thing. Now, the heroes of the experiment endured the agony, waiting for the experimenter to return so they could savor the second marshmallow. What's true of children is true for all of us. We don't like to wait for something good. Even if we know we'll get something better in the long run, we just don't like to wait. Amen. We don't even like to wait for the blessings of God. We want it now. God, I want it now, Lord. Do it now. Heal me now. Bring me that husband now. Deliver my child now. Amen? Now, God. Not thinking that maybe in the in-between time, God's doing work.
Amen.
Amen? The dominion of heaven is like the second marshmallow. We in the church wait now for the dominion of heaven to come in its fullness. But every now and then we get to nibble at the first marshmallow. The sacraments, they're a nibble at the first marshmallow. Experiencing God's presence in the midst of a crisis is a nibble at the first marshmallow. Feeling the love of other Christians is a nibble at the first marshmallow. Vibrant prayer and being welcomed in God's presence is a nibble at the first marshmallow. Seeing God make a way out of no way is a nibble at the first marshmallow. Yet we wait for the second. We trust that God will fully bring in the dominion of heaven. The dominion of heaven is for us all, and for those who hunger for God, who recognize their need for Him and desire to please Him above all, the second marshmallow will be much, much sweeter. In the meantime, we have dual citizenship. We are citizens of this country, but the true King is Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And at times when allegiances conflict, when our flesh prods us, when the devil tempts us, and when people misunderstand us, we must remember we are blessed.
Amen.
Amen? We are singularly favored and graciously approved by God if we choose to live for Him above all else. And what seems upside down to the world now will one day be right side up when Jesus returns, and every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. We either bow now or we bow later. Amen? And whose kingdom do you really reside? Amen? I'll say that again. In whose kingdom do you really reside? I want to be in God's kingdom. Amen?
Amen.
Let us pray. Gracious God, we thank You. Someday, God, You're coming back. And You're going to make everything that is upside down, right side up. And we want to be in that number to hear you say, good and faithful servant, well done. You have been faithful over a few things. Now I will make you ruler over many. We thank you, Lord, that your word tells us that eyes have not seen and ears have not heard and it has not entered into the human heart the things, God, that you have for those who trust you, who wait for you, who love you. So help us, God. Help us to choose you above all things. Purify our hearts, God, that our inclinations, our thoughts, our desires would be those that would bring you glory and honor every day of our lives. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen.